You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jake Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a historian tells us why we can learn lessons from 1968, 50 years later.
First, the White House has officially released its long-anticipated plan to address the nation's aging infrastructure. Among other things, President Trump's plan would aim to generate at least $1.5 trillion in new investment, with only some of that money coming from the federal government.
The plan also comes amid the backdrop of a new federal budget proposal that would lead to increased deficits, and lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have expressed doubts about the infrastructure plan as it's written.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for the Washington Post. Heather, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
So this plan has been about a year in the making. It's something that the president campaigned on, and we've been getting little bits of information here and there about what might be in it. Now that the full document is out there in front of us, what are we looking at? Any major surprises?
No major surprises, but I think a lot of disappointment in Washington and around the country. You talked about the headline number of hoping, White House is hoping for $1.5 trillion. The reality is they're only proposing $200 billion of additional funds, so much more of a drop in the bucket compared to what they're trying to claim this plan could do. And if you look, the question, of course, is where are they even getting that $200 billion? And what they're doing is they're supposedly saying, oh, we're going to take it from other parts of the budget. So we're going to cut other transportation programs and some other safety net programs, and we're going to take that money, and then we're going to go and build more roads and bridges. So it's sort of like taking from one hand and giving to the other hand. So that's why on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans are sort of shaking their heads like, yes, we need to do something on infrastructure, but this is not the plan.
And you were saying federally, it's going to be $200 billion. That's going to come from some safety net programs, some already existing transit programs. So let's kind of parse that. Let's look into it. What infrastructure spending is already going to get hit with this infrastructure plan?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me pull up the list. We were looking at this earlier. So it's again a hodgepodge. There's about 10 different things that are currently in the budget that they're planning to cut a little bit. So for instance, like the Army Corps of Engineers funding or grants to Amtrak, they would take a little bit of money from there. But the biggest one, which is kind of frustrating to a lot of lawmakers, is that they're saying that they would take some of the highway trust fund money, and which is currently one of the major sources of funding for road construction in the country, and they're saying they would take some of that and reallocate it. So again, it's like, why are we reallocating money that's already going to road construction?
So you kind of asked a question within a question there, but is there any rationale as to why that was the decision in this plan?
I think if the White House were on the phone here, that they would argue, as they have to some reporters, that they feel that the money could be spent more efficiently. And in particular, the big impetus behind this plan from the president is to delegate more of the decisions about where the funding goes and where what types of programs get funded to the state. So the state of Wisconsin would basically get some sort of block grant, and they would be able to then decide where the money would go, as opposed to at the moment the White House feels that there's too much kind of top-down, too much of Washington telling parts of the country which projects are go ahead and which should not.
We're talking to Heather Long right now. She is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post, talking about this $1.5 trillion plan, infrastructure plan, that the White House unveiled today. So going from $200 billion to $1.5 trillion, how are we going to get the rest of this money?
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I know you all are sitting there in Wisconsin, and the idea is that our home states would put up the rest of the funding. So it would be a combination of state dollars, of local dollars, and of private money. Now, whenever you say private money, it sounds great. We would get pension funds and others to put up the initial seed capital, but of course they want payment back, and that usually is a code buzzword, right? We hear private funding for toll roads. And again, you can toll some of the roads across the country. Countries like Australia have done that very effectively. But I don't know about Wisconsin. I've been there twice, and I can imagine, just like Pennsylvania, you can't put a toll on every single road in that state.
That is a big conversation here in the state right now, with open road tolling being something being talked about. So, Heather, you know, the president has been talking a long time about, you know, the roads are bad. Rural areas need broadband, that there's all of this infrastructure that needs to be fixed. What are some of the biggest needs out there that I guess the president would like to see taken care of?
So that's one of the biggest frustrations with this plan, is there's clearly a huge number of needs. We can all point to things in our own communities that need to be upgraded. But what this plan really does is it says that the federal government is going to help fund whatever could get matching funds. So whatever projects, you know, there would be private dollars that would be willing to fund, or that there would be state money that would be willing to fund. And that's not necessarily where the most critical needs are, nor is it, I have come from an economics background, what you'd like to see is the most bang for your buck. So you'd like to see projects that are going to generate the most jobs and the most return for our country. And that's where the frustration, it feels like this plan is a real disconnect between what's needed and what could really benefit the U.S. versus the types of projects that would be preferred under the strategy the Trump administration has outlined.
Now, you said that some of this is federal money, some of it is state money, and some of it will be private, public-private partnerships. Some people might be a little wary of that. Have there been any states that have been able to utilize public-private partnerships in terms of infrastructure well?
That's a loaded question. In the United States, there's certainly been a lot of hesitancy. And there in the Midwest, a lot of people point to Indiana as a real example of how things can go very badly. But again, other countries have done it successfully. A lot of people, of course, holding up Australia and even some projects in Canada that they feel have gone well on public-private partnership. So it can be done. I think it's important to point out that President Trump's top infrastructure advisor is named D.J. Gibbon, and D.J. Gibbon used to be a high-level person at Macquarie Bank, which is one of the big Australian banks that has done a lot of public-private partnerships. So that's another reason, perhaps, that there's quite a bit of that in this plan. So some people have raised some skepticism about that.
Do we know what parts of this plan, obviously it's day one that we have it, but what parts of this plan could potentially become a reality?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway here is the administration wants to do something. While they are getting a lot of criticism for this plan, there is general agreement. Something needs to be done. There's general agreement that permitting takes too long, which is, you know, President Trump likes to talk about, it takes 10 years now. We need to get it under two. Is the real number 10 years? No, it's not. But anything that they could reduce the amount of time, there's general agreement that needs to be done. There's general agreement on what you were talking about earlier, that we're going to need money specifically dedicated for rural infrastructure, because that clearly can't be told. And there's also general agreement that starting in the late 1990s, the United States federal government dedicated funds, basically federally backed loans. So instead of giving just pure grant dollars, they would do these loans, federally backed loans. And that program has worked extremely well. As a matter of fact, it's been expanded from not just funding highways that way, but now we fund ports and some railroad projects that way. And part of this proposal from the Trump administration is, hey, that program has been working well. Let's expand it even more to more, say, water projects or hydro projects or, you know, other types of infrastructure projects. So those types of initiatives get a lot of bipartisan support. They make a lot of sense. But I think what you're going to see going forward is Congress is really going to have to pick up the ball here and actually craft the details of this plan. The good thing is the White House isn't saying no to anything. For instance, most people think if this is really going to happen, big scale, like what we need, we may need something like a gas tax increase. I know I don't like the sound of that either, but we haven't raised that gas tax since 1993. If we really want to make massive investments in our country, we got to pay for them. That's one way to do it.
Well, Heather, you actually ended up answering my final question about the gas tax. So I guess we will leave it there for now. A lot to get to in the future. So, Heather, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. She joined us to talk about the White House's newly released plan to address the nation's aging infrastructure.